You're listening to a podcast from 702.
I want you to listen to this interview very carefully. And then after that, I want you to do two things for me. You can either completely change the subject and tell me what you want to talk about on the open line, or you can react to the interview I'm about to describe to you is about. 011-883-0702. That's the number here in the studio, as always, that you can call throughout the show. So what happened is yesterday we had an excellent discussion, I thought, if I must give ourselves credit, with Ray Mashlaka, who is a very good financial journalist. And that was part two in our focus on the ongoing battle between Old Mutual and Peter Moyo. Part one is also worth listening back to if you'd missed it last week with his colleague from the Daily Maverick, Sikonathi Mantshantsha. And based on that, Peter Moyo had reached out to me and wanted to engage some of the issues that were raised on the Eusebius McKayser show yesterday. So not so much a right of reply as much as me making the judgment call that it is indeed in the interest of the public to hear Peter out on one or two claims that he wanted to make. He was happy by and large with how the conversation went, but he wanted to dispute some of the things that Ray and I discussed. And of course, I in turn wanted to hold him accountable on one or two pertinent questions. And so we're going to start off the show by me playing this interview. Have a listen to it and then tell me what you make of how Peter comes across and the quality of his answers. Joining me on the show is Peter Moyo. Many of you would have listened to me yesterday speaking to a journalist about the ongoing legal warfare and corporate warfare between Peter Moyo and Old Mutual, and also last week on the show as well. And while Peter had reached out to me and said that he had listened to that conversation, there were one or two issues that he wanted to pick up on in his own words and set the record straight where there were either misdirection on my part or the journalist's part or maybe factual inaccuracies. Peter, good morning to you and thank you so much for coming on my show.
Good morning, Mr. Pias, and good morning to your listeners.
Peter, let's get to the heart of the matter. As I see it, the most important factual issue is what happened on the 4th of July 2018 when you chaired that NMT Capital meeting. And it seems from my reading as a non-expert, but as a journalist interested in this saga, that if you had not declared there a preference dividend to Old Mutual, then quite frankly, you should be fired. And that's a question of fact. What factually happened in that meeting in terms of this contentious issue of the preference share dividend?
That's a very good question, Eusebius. What happened on that day, the directors of NMT Capital, and in fact, all the directors were present, declared both an ordinary and a preference dividend. In fact, they went further to actually put even a higher number than the preference dividend because they were desirous of making payments to Old Mutual. The area preference dividend was only about 20 million. That meeting resolved to pay to Old Mutual about 37 million rand. So this notion that at that meeting, the preference dividend was not dealt with is very incorrect.
Can we distinguish between a declaration and a payout? You've used your words very carefully, and in commercial law, this matters, and also the South African law that governs the very nature of being a preference shareholder. When you say the preference shareholding dividend was dealt with, are you saying, A, that there was a declaration that the preference dividend should be paid out, or are you also saying that as a matter of fact, it was actually paid out before any ordinary dividend went into ordinary shareholders' bank accounts?
No, I'm not saying that. And that distinction, you said, is very important. At a meeting of directors, given also the fact that three of the four directors were non-executive, all the directors could do is deal with the declaration of the dividend, then it is left to the executives to attend to the payment. So all I can do, I don't work at NMT. I've not worked at NMT since end of May 2017. So my job, because we've got to be clear here, we are talking about my responsibility to our mutual. My responsibility is in the declaration of the dividend. So we went to that meeting, we declared the dividend, all the other issues around the payment had to be dealt by the executives of NMT Capital.
But the next level of particularity that is salient in the issue, Peter, I think you would agree with me, from the vantage point of Old Mutual, and as the bona fide CEO, as the events played out around July 2018, you would have to take a material interest in the following matter, is what then happens after the declaration when we go from declaration stage to payout stage. If the ordinary dividends are in fact paid out in the days or the weeks after the declaration, but the preference dividends is not paid out, then Old Mutual has a material interest in that order of events going counter to South African law. You cannot, as CEO of Old Mutual at that stage, be agnostic to what is happening operationally at NMT Capital, because the very definition of your job as CEO of Old Mutual would presumably be to make sure that that preference declaration that happened on the 4th of July is faithfully operationalized by NMT Capital.
No, you are now unfortunately putting another responsibility on me, which is not my responsibility. I am not an executive at NMT Capital. It is the executives of NMT Capital that must attend to that, and I'll get back to that. Similarly, at Old Mutual, I was not even responsible for receiving any money. So I could never have told you when Old Mutual received even the ordinary dividend, nor the preference dividend, because it is not my job, even at Old Mutual. So for you to suggest then that I've got now to go to NMT to start managing NMT as if I'm an executive, my contract specifically precludes me from doing that. My contract is very clear that I will not be an executive at NMT. I can attend about 4 board meetings as a non-executive member, and maybe, and even the hours are kind of stipulated. It also talks about me attending a strategy session. So I could not, I was not, even in terms of my contract, expected to do that.
Okay.
However,
yep.
However, if Old Mutual or NMT had actually called me or raised anything with me, the contract, the preference share capital contract is very clear that if Old Mutual do not receive any amount that are due to them, or if they are not paid, they have to met a demand, and NMT has a duty to deliver within 5 days. So the ordinary dividends, I think, and I mean, this is now what I think I remember, would have been paid maybe 2-3 days after that. Old Mutual could actually have on that day have called NMT to say, We know that a dividend was declared, or if they did not know that it was declared, they could actually have said, we have received this amount, pay us the preference dividend, and I would have expected that to be paid. Now, let me tell you then what actually happened. When Old Mutual received the preference, sorry, the ordinary dividend,
mm-hmm.
Which would have been 3 or so days, they actually indeed, by the way, called NMT Capital, which they should have done. And NMT Capital, as I'm told by the CFO of NMT Capital, say to them, they were working on a much bigger deal, and they were going to deal with the preference dividend at that event. And they went back to Old Mutual round about September, October, and when that was presented to Old Mutual, and again, I did not know any of this. I only got to know all of this around about May this year. Old Mutual then said, no, just pay us the preference dividend. Then we can look at all these other things. And they were actually paid that dividend last year.
Okay, so let's just speak plainly here so that the public can understand. When you chaired that 4th of July 2018 meeting, what is your understanding of what your duty was as chair of that meeting? Because what you are saying to me, Peter, is that you are trying to very narrowly proscribe where your duties ended and to ring fence the conversation by suggesting that however decisions are executed in terms of what declarations everyone votes in favor of in that meeting, that is not something that you can be expected to keep tabs on. What is the duty of the chair of that meeting that took place on the 4th of July?
Oh, okay. In fact, by the way, I think there's a lot that's actually being made of chairing that meeting. Nothing actually stands on chairing that meeting. Any director, any one of the four of us could have chaired. Actually, the company chairman was at that meeting. The reason why he did not chair the meeting was that amongst other big things that were being discussed were executive bonuses, and he is an executive. So we actually thought it did not make sense for him to chair a meeting that will actually be talking about his own benefits. So the chairman of that meeting does not have any other responsibility, because the company chairman, who is executive, was at the meeting. And you'd expect the executives to go and deal with those issues. If I'm digressing, please.
No, you're not digressing. Here's the practical difficty that I have with this, Peter.
No,
hold on one second. I must get in here. We don't have the whole day. I want to cut to the chase. Are you suggesting that whoever that are... Oh, Peter, hold on one second. I want to hold you accountable, and I'm sure that you are keen to be held accountable. If you are the chair of that meeting, whether anyone else could have been the chair as a director, that's neither here nor there. All of you collectively, whoever were present at that meeting on the 4th of July, are you saying to me the following as a matter of law, that you had no duty once that meeting took place to provide any kind of oversight as a committee that took that decision about dividends needing to be paid, about what happens in terms of the money flows that then takes place afterwards in the days and the weeks ahead? Are you saying that there's no oversight duty? You simply debate, should we or should we not declare these dividends? Yes, we do. Let's have a vote. Bob's your uncle, and then we continue with our lives the next day. I go to my office at Old Mutual. That there's no further legal duty to make sure that whatever declarations were agreed to is then faithfully actually executed. No duty arises at all?
Well, I would not want to even talk about the legal side. Let me just use a practical example. At Old Mutual, I'm the CEO. We declare dividends and we've got the entire board there. It is then left for me as the CEO and the CFO to attend to it. There is nothing else. We don't ever even go back to the other directors and actually say, we've actually paid on this. The directors meet and declare, and then I take it that they assume that we as executives go and deliver that because it is our duty. That's actually what happens in any company.
Peter, I've got a second.
I've never been to a company where I've never been asked the question that has this been paid. You might also know Eusebius, our chairman of Vodacom. Even when we declared dividends at Vodacom, I never went back to the CEO and said, oh, we declared dividends to be paid on the 10th of July. On the 10th of July, I never went back to them and said, did you pay the dividend?
I hear you on that. I've got a second last question for today, Peter. From the perspective of Old Mutual, And I've got questions for them too. So I'm just playing devil's advocate here. But from their perspective, you are the CEO. They've got a stake in another company. As our CEO, from an Old Mutual point of view, you are present there. And it turns out that dividends are declared. We see such monies not flowing into our accounts, despite being preference shareholders. Can you understand, even if we put the law aside, seeing as you are keen to talk practicality and common sense, why Old Mutual should feel royally cheesed off, to put it lightly, that our own CEO could have been part of a structure that didn't deliver on a legitimate payout that ought to have flowed into our bank accounts? Whatever the detail, but from their point of view, it's mighty disappointing. CEO is a massive title, and that is the ultimate person that one can ensure that if that person is present in a company in which we have a stake, where a meeting takes place, that our interest will be safeguarded.
Okay, at the meeting where the Old Mutual CEO was at, this Old Mutual CEO made sure that Old Mutual's interests were looked after because a dividend was declared.
Okay, and then the final question to you is, I'm wondering about the end game here, and I've been thinking about this a lot over the last week. Let's say you win all of the court battles. Do you accept, as your lawyers might have advised you or not, that in the best case scenario for you, this will be what lawyers refer to as a Pyrrhic victory? You may win in the court of law, but practically things have soured so much that you will have salvaged your good name, but presumably the morning after your final court victory, you will not want to be CEO of Old Mutual. Is that so?
I'm not going to give a short answer here. Firstly, I think it's important for everybody to know that Old Mutual is a very, very good company. When I was asked, and by the way, I did not ask to join, I was asked to come and head Old Mutual. It's a very good company with very good people. I chose to come out of my position on private equity to go and head Old Mutual. So the question that is being asked here, and it's an important question that we have to deal with. You can't assume that when you do something wrong, which we are saying the board has done wrong, you can then get rid of the other person who is not wrong, purely because that person reports into you. One of the things that was argued in court by my counsel was that we need to be careful here, that you create an environment where somebody senior abuses a junior employee, and then they turn around and say the relationship is actually soured so badly, the junior person must go. Life does not work like that. We are in a democracy here that does not work purely on numbers. And those are some of the things that are being forgotten. It is about accountability. I've been very clear that if I am wrong, I have to go. But also similarly...
But I get that, Peter. I'm asking a practical question, right? So there's accountability and justice, and then there is whether or not one can continue working there. Let's say Prime Media, in law, wrongfully start some proceedings against me as the talk show host. I might win in the labor court. I might actually win all of the cases, but I wouldn't want to come back to the place if there's an irretrievable breakdown in marriage, even if justice has been done in a court of law. So let's say you win all of these cases. Would you still want to be CEO?
Of
all
mutuals?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, but I mean, I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Don't forget that the biggest thing that we are actually saying in our court papers, and I really mean it, is that the first relief that we seek is I am reinstated as CEO of Old Mutual. And I also want to keep on stressing this, that this thing is not just about how my contract was dealt with. Substantively, we are actually saying, even on an objective basis, what Old Mutual is claiming is a conflict of interest. There was actually no prejudice to Old Mutual, and there was no intention. And by the way, the judge makes a prima facie finding on it. It said that people keep on talking about this as if it's only a procedural issue. The judge makes comments about the substantive issues of the case, the sort of things that Trevor Manuel himself says, which is saying, let's go back to the scene of the crime. I've actually said, let's go back. And I've said, if I've done something wrong, put me through a proper process, because I know the truth.
Peter, I get all of that. I want to wrap the conversation up. All I'm saying to you is, presumably, you cannot possibly work with these people again, and that all this is about is clearing your good name and getting justice from your vantage point, yeah?
It's slightly more than that. I love all mutualists, yes. In fact, by the way, it's also true that I'm still one of the biggest customers of all mutualists.
Yeah, but you know how it goes with relationships, Peter, in life and in corporate. Sometimes love is not enough.
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge.
We'll leave it there for today then, Peter. Peter, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.